So, if you open your Bibles to Romans chapter 7, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 6 today. I titled this, Death Delivered Us from the Law. And as we know, death has entered the world through Adam and Eve. People died to the moral law, the law that God gave all. In Romans chapter 1, verse 19, it says, because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. This is the truth, the knowledge of God within our own conscience, as it is manifested within us. But after Moses, people died to the Mosaic law. So from the very beginning, the law had dominion over us. We saw the original covenant with man, which is sometimes called the creation covenant. Adam and Eve were created and had one rule, not to eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, later, Reformed theologians would call this covenant a covenant of works. They called it this basically because the terms and conditions for blessedness are related to obedience. Paul pointed out the contrast between the first Adam and the second Adam, Jesus Christ, to us. He did this in Romans chapter 5, verse 18. He says, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. So then we see the covenant of grace, which actually refers to the promise God gave Adam and Eve when he promised that redemption would come through the seed of the woman. So Paul has continued now to explain our sinful nature and being bound to the law as well as our salvation, that we can be justified through our belief upon Jesus Christ. We finished chapter 6 showing the end result from the choices we are allowed to make. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wages, we can earn death, but eternal life is a gift. Now Paul at this time, Paul, when he wrote Romans, was getting a lot of flack from the Jews. They were very jealous for the law. They believed the Gentiles should be following the law and also be circumcised. And the Jews at that time, if you recall, back in Deuteronomy, and this is one of the reasons why they were so jealous, is because of what God said. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments, and this is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1, which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess. So this was before they went in the land. That you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your father has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your home, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. They were constantly teaching their children about God and his word and what he had to say, just as we should be with our children. Constantly praying to the Lord. Pray without ceasing. Talking to our children, teaching them. And he went on to say, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them down on your doorposts of your house and on your gates. God's word. He wanted them continually to be thinking of him and what he had told them, his laws. So the commandment of God to Israel that they should hold his word in high regard. And this was one of the reasons they were after Paul, because he was sharing something different and they didn't understand it. In Psalm 19:7, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Paul, we saw in Acts, was being accused of dishonoring the law of Moses. He was teaching that the law was leading you to Christ, and once you had Christ, you were no longer under the law. Thus, Paul is addressing the subject of how we relate to the law here. So let's read through these verses. Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives? For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives, but if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not the oldness of the letter. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you today, Father, and I do ask that you just open this word up to us, and that we would understand what Paul is saying here about the law and dying to it. And Father, we thank you again that we can come here freely to not only worship you, but to learn about you, to fellowship. And we thank you for this building that we get to be in to do it. Lord, we give you all the praise and the glory. Be with us and bless this time we have together. In Jesus' name, amen. Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives? Paul, most likely referring to the Mosaic law here. He is speaking to those who were familiar with the law, obviously the Jews. Some of the Gentiles would have known about the law. And he goes, or do you not know that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives? And they should know that. When you're dead, you can't be held accountable to the law because you can't sin. You can't break the law. It would be like somebody being buried in a public place. And then all of a sudden they come along and say, you can't bury him here. You got to move him. And it'd be like, well, it's not the dead man's fault that he's buried there. He had nothing to do with it. It's the guy who buried him that committed the sin or the crime, and he has to move him. To the dead, the law has no dominion over them. In other words, we have to die in order for sin's dominion over us to be broken. R.C. Sproul wrote this in his commentary about Martin Luther. When he was a younger, actually, he was going to college to study law. And one day on his way home from college during a break, he encountered a severe thunderstorm and a lightning bolt struck right next to him. And apparently in terror, Martin cried out, help me, Satan. I'll become a monk. Well, he told his dad, and it wasn't long after that, he entered the monastery. And this was an Erfurt. He sought to become a monk of the Augustinian order. And apparently he was very zealous for godliness and totally committed to the disciplines of the Augustinian order. Got up early and prayed for many hours every day, buffeted his body and engaged in self-flagellation to punish himself for his sins. Studied the scriptures and went daily to confession, and it was written that he drove his father, confessor, to what they call apoplexy. And I looked this word up because I didn't know what it meant. It said it's a definition of a state of intense and almost uncontrollable anger. He was driving him crazy. He was irritating him to no end. But a normal confession, what's that, 3-5 minutes? You go in, hey, I've sinned, blah, blah, blah. Okay, you're abstained, you're good. Well, Luther would go into the confessional and spend an hour or two, sometimes more. Confessing sins from the previous 24 hours to receive that absolution from his sins. Feeling good about himself after confession, he would then remember something wrong he did. So he would torment himself until that next confessional. He would beat himself. Luther would examine himself and say things like, Lord, I have not loved you with all my heart today. How can I get relief from your judgment? And I thought about that statement when I read it. And I'm thinking to myself, that's pretty much every day for me. And he would beat himself over that. God was definitely working on this man. This, all part of trying to work your way into heaven. Thus, some like Eric Erickson, a psychological theologian, looked at his life and said, yeah, he was crazy. But you see, he lived under the domain of the law. He did not understand at this point saved by grace through faith. He had not come to that conclusion yet through reading the word. He was trying to earn it. Paul wrote in chapter 3, starting at verse 19, he says, now we know that whenever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. Later on in chapter 4, verse 15, he says, because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Thus we saw Luther under the law as a believer, but not understanding grace. And you think about that when I talked last week about the speed limit and doing all of that. You're breaking the law. And I think about when I go down Towns Mill Drive, which leads down to my house. There's one little speed limit sign at the beginning, it says 35. And every other speed limit down all the way to get to my place has been torn down. The kids take them down so they